Good evening, everyone. So tonight, please, if you have your Bibles with you, open up the passage, Luke chapter 4 from verses 1 to 13. Luke chapter 4 from verses 1 to 13. And over the next coming weeks, I'll be bringing some notepads, which I'll keep at the back of the church. When you come to church, it's good to, you know, not only listen, but to make notes, because we are studying God's word, and it helps us to really remember and to digest that information. So I'll be keeping it at the back. So Luke chapter 4 from verses 1 to 13. Temptations. How many of you have been tempted? How many of you are going through temptation? Maybe there's some of you here present this evening, and there's an area in your life where you're struggling. There's an area in your life where you're being tempted. You know, temptation, it comes to us all in different various forms, and it's inevitable, because as long as we are here on this earth, every single one of us will come face to face and experience temptation. And the Lord placed it on my heart to open up this passage this evening and to share this with you. So we'll be looking at temptation from Luke's gospel. So what we'll be doing is we'll be going through each of the three temptations that Jesus faced. And we'll end with how we can apply these temptations, what Jesus went through, to our lives today, and the lessons that we can learn from this. So let's have a look. From verses 1 to 2, Luke chapter 4, it reads, "Then Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan, and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being tempted for 40 days by the devil. And in those days he ate nothing. And afterward, when they had ended, he was hungry." So a bit of background to this passage. Jesus had just been baptized by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit had descended on Jesus in the form of a dove. And God the Father spoke these amazing words to Jesus. He said, "This is my Son, whom I love." You know, just the very words that every child would love to hear. Then straight after this, we arrive in chapter 4, verse 1, with Jesus being led out into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit, where he will face and experience these three temptations. Jesus' temptation by the devil was no accident. The Holy Spirit led Jesus for a particular purpose. The Holy Spirit led Jesus for a particular reason and a direction. The Holy Spirit led Jesus into the wilderness for a particular purpose. And you know, some of our greatest spiritual peaks, they're often followed by times of great testing and temptation. I remember when I was baptized, here in this church, and it was such a very blessed and encouraging time. I was baptized here with my wife, and you know, I remember, you know, right until the moments of being baptized, you know, having that feeling where you're on a spiritual high. You know, people are coming up to you, they're proud, they're happy, you know, well done, you know, they're happy with the fact that you've repented. You know, you're on a spiritual high. But then what happens? The temptations kick in, the trials kick in, the difficulties kick in, and they come in stronger than ever. And this is something that I experienced as well, you know, up until the moments of being baptized to this very, very day. The trials, difficulties. In this life, we have to carry the cross. If we are in Christ, we have to go through the hardships. If we are in Christ, we have to go through the temptations and the suffering. So here, Jesus had just been baptized. Jesus, we are told, it said he had been fasting for 40 days. Jesus was beginning in his ministry. And after 40 days of fasting, we are told that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, he was hungry. You know, we need to guard ourselves all the more in those times, in those areas that we know that we are susceptible to temptation. You know, the devil would tempt us, you know, to command things and to demand things that God never intended for us. And he would tempt us to depend on our own self and our own resources instead of on God and on God's resources. One of my first jobs was when I was about 17 years old. I worked in a discounted department store. This was in Perry Bar. TJ Hughes, I'm not sure if you are aware. It's not a very great shop, to be honest with you. It got closed down. I was there for 6 months and I got made redundant, so it just shows. it was my very first job. I learned so much through the job. Just before the store was going to close down, the last couple of shifts that I had there, I remember the manager, he went home early. He just didn't have no interest anymore. You know, the shop was closing. So he delegated one of the tasks to one of the staff members there. And I remember going into the stock room. And when I went inside the stock room, there was all these staff running around and they were carrying items. And they were saying to me, John, you might as well help yourself to an item. You know, no one can see. The manager's gone home. The shop's closing down. You know, we're taking some items. Someone took a toaster, you know, a duvet set. So people just carrying all sorts. And I remember being tempted because I could see a lot of electrical items there. And I remember at the time, MP3 players were very popular. The little ones, the digital ones, they were very, very popular after CD players. And I remember looking at it, I was thinking to myself, I could just pick it up for free and no one would notice, you know. But when I said to them, look, I'm not going to take anything. They looked at me like I was like an alien, like I was a weird person. Like, why isn't he taking this, you know? It's like everything's there in front of you. But I remember battling with that in my head. You know, it was a battle. So I'm sure we can all think of examples like this or similar to this in our life where we've had to battle. Because in this life, we are in a spiritual battle. If we are in Christ, we are in a spiritual battle. So let's look at the temptations that Jesus faced. So firstly, Jesus was tempted to turn stone into bread. And we see this in verses 3-4. I'll just read it. And the devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, command this stone to become bread." But Jesus answered him, saying, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God." In other words, the devil was saying, Jesus, focus on yourself. The devil knew exactly who Jesus was. The devil knew the power that Jesus possessed. He knew that Jesus could have easily turn the stones into bread. You know, and this wouldn't be a temptation if Jesus was not the Son of God. You know, if the devil said to me, turn this stone into bread, it wouldn't be a temptation since it's impossible for me to do so. But it's a temptation to Jesus because he could do it. And we are told Jesus was hungry. He had not eaten for 40 days. 40 days, imagine fasting for 40 days, consecutive days. Jesus was extremely hungry. And Satan tried to use that to his advantage. You know, it's almost an innocent temptation. Come on, you're hungry. You can do something about it. You can get yourself some food, so why not? But it's not innocent to Jesus. It's suggesting that he could use his own powers to meet his own need. Satan was tempting Jesus to disobey his Father's will. He was saying to Jesus to take matters into his own hands and to take care of himself, to be selfish. A test of Jesus' faith in the Father as the provider. So why was this a temptation? Because hunger represents human wants, plain and simple. By Jesus fasting for 40 days, in order to focus on the spiritual and away from the physical, that is the comfort of life. Then Satan came telling him to use his divine powers to meet his own needs. But how does Jesus respond? He responds with God's word, verse 4. It is written, he says, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. Jesus used scripture when he responded to the devil. Notice as we go through each of the temptations, Jesus begins with, it is written. Jesus responded by quoting from Deuteronomy chapter 8, verse 3. And by Jesus mentioning this in his response, he was in effect revealing to us what this temptation was all about. The fact that Satan wanted Jesus to prioritize his flesh at that very moment. Satan wanted Jesus to satisfy his physical desires. His desires are feeling hungry. You know, when you've eaten enough and know that you are fully satisfied and you say, I'm full, your mind will often say, how about some dessert? You know, the battle's begun between your mind and your body. When you have set time for Bible reading, when you've set time for prayer, when you've set time to visit your brother and sister who's going through that difficult trial in order to encourage them, what happens? Your mind starts thinking, I've got this to do, I've got that to do, I've got to look after the kids. The battle has begun. Perhaps there are other spiritual priorities that you've established in your life, which are often neglected because of the desire of flesh. Remember, Satan attacked Jesus in this moment of vulnerability. Likewise, temptations will come to each and every one of us in our moments of vulnerability. And secondly, Jesus was tempted to worship Satan for power. And if you look at, we see this in from verses 5 to 8. Jesus was tempted to worship Satan for power. The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will be yours. The second temptation that Jesus faced was in the area of power and control. If the first temptation had to do with the physical needs, then the second had to do with the psychological needs. The prestige and power of all the kingdoms of the world were offered to Jesus. They were offered to him under one condition, if he were to bow down to Satan, but not to just bow down, but to bow down and to worship him. Seems like a very desperate move on part of the devil. He realized from the first temptation that he wasn't winning. So he thought he would give it his best shot. After all, he had nothing to lose by asking Jesus to worship him. Notice from these verses, Satan took Jesus to a high mountain. He showed him all the kingdoms in all its glory and in all its splendor. And he said, Jesus, I'll give you all of this, but you need to bow down and you need to follow me. You need to worship me. Jesus is presented with a spectacular presentation of all the glitz and the glamour that the world had to offer. A sales presentation, if there ever was a sales presentation. Jesus was shown all the kingdoms, all the best things. The devil was offering Jesus a shortcut to his kingdom. Jesus knew that he would have to suffer. He knew he would have to die and be risen again in order to enter into glory, his glory. If he bowed down and worshipped Satan just once, he could enjoy all the glory without enduring the suffering. Satan was saying, look, you came down onto the earth as a king to inherit the nations. Here they are. I'm giving them to you in exchange for your worship. Why go through the trouble? Why go through the suffering to get the crown? Satan is offering Jesus his kingdom without the cross. Why go through the hardships and the trouble and the pain and the despair of the cross when I'm offering you the whole world and everything in it with no suffering, no sacrifice? What a temptation. Would Jesus go for this? No, because this was not the will of the Father. This was not the Father's plan. This is not what the Father had intended for Jesus. A kingdom without the cross would mean no forgiveness for our sins. A price had to be paid. And verse 8, Jesus answered him very sharply, very directly, very firmly. Read verse 8. It says, and Jesus answered and said to him, get behind me, Satan. Get behind me, Satan. For it is written, you shall worship the Lord your God, and him only you shall serve. Again, Jesus responds to the devil's temptation, the second temptation, with the word of God. He quotes again from Deuteronomy, this time from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. And he says, you shall worship the Lord your God, and only him you shall serve. He didn't respond by using his miraculous power. He could have done so very easily. But he resisted in the same way that we need to resist, by relying on the scriptures which had power. And thirdly, let's look at the third temptation. Jesus was tempted to test God. And we see this from verses 9 to 12. Where it reads, then he brought him to Jerusalem, set him on the pinnacle of the temple, and said to him, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down from here. For it is written, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you, and in their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. What exactly is the temptation here in the third one? It was a temptation for Jesus to create a crisis and then force or manipulate God to rescue him. Satan was prompting Jesus to do something spectacular to demonstrate that, yes, he is indeed the Son of God. The pinnacle, or the highest point of the temple, was approximately 500 feet. And a leap from there, and the promise and the appearance of the promised protection of the angels, would have been a spectacular event that would be in the full public view of all the people there. Here, Satan appealed to the desire within every man to sense approval from God and to have that approval publicly displayed. Satan was saying to Jesus, "You are God's son and he loves you. So if you jump down from here, he will send his angels to rescue you." Isn't that what the Bible says? Satan changes his act this time. So twice Jesus quoted from the scriptures, from Deuteronomy, from the first temptation and the second temptation. And what the devil does here is the devil also quotes from scripture. The devil quotes from a scripture which was found in Psalm 91 from verses 11 to 12. He quotes with a scripture that promised Jesus angelic protection and challenged Jesus not to just trust in it, but to give evidence of his trust by acting upon it. But unsurprisingly, yes, Satan quotes a scripture from Psalm 91, verses 11 to 12, but he deliberately misquotes it. He misapplied this verse for his own evil purposes. And in no way do the verses mean that believers should place themselves or put themselves in unnecessary danger. You know, God's words are not to be used like magical spells. You know, in that passage in Psalms, the psalmist celebrated the Lord's ability to protect his people. And this is part of God's ability. And it doesn't mean that God absolutely guarantees the health and safety of anybody who demands it. Satan attempted to twist these very words when tempting Christ. Satan knew his scriptures, but he tried to twist them. His implication was that the words written here could be applied as a demand to God, that Jesus could jump off the building and God would rescue him. But Jesus saw right through the devil's lies, and he sees this temptation is in fact a challenge not to trust God, but to tempt him, to prove his sonship, to abuse it. Not to prove his sonship, but to abuse it. Jesus had received no instruction from God to jump off the temple. Jesus, in his answer again, responds with scripture. Verse 12, Jesus says, "Do not test the Lord your God." God is not on probation. There's no doubt about his faithfulness that has to be cleared up by putting him through a test. And if Jesus gave in to this temptation, Jesus would have also known that if he jumped, it would prove that he was a Messiah to all the Jews by the promise of the protection, by the Lord sending the angels to rescue him. The Father had much work for Jesus. This was a shortcut to the cross. And in verse 13, we read, "Now when the devil had ended every temptation, he departed from him until an opportune time." The enemy left as a defeated challenger. Christ's faithfulness, Christ's obedience to God caused Satan to leave. Christ resisted. Christ used the words from the scripture as his weapon. So what can we learn from this? What can we learn from this passage and how can we apply it to our lives? So one thing that we can learn is we need to be watchful and prayerful. In Matthew chapter 26 verse 41, in that verse Matthew writes, "When the tempter came," in our lives it's not a question if the tempter will come, but when he will come. We all will face temptation until we go to glory. But in order for us to overcome temptation, we must be able to recognize them and to see them for what they actually are. Lies and deception. Jesus triumphed over Satan because he recognized his mode of attack. Satan is a liar. He's a deceiver. And for those who have been brought into the light of the cross, deception is his only tool. Matthew referred to Satan as a tempter, and his weapons are lies and deception. So we need to keep watch, keep alert, and to pray. You know, when we face temptations, not to rely on our own resources, not to rely on our own strength. Why? Because we are weak. We need to be saying, Lord, crying out to the Lord, Lord, help us when we face this temptation. We need your help in this battle because we can't do this alone. We need you to intervene. We need your guidance, Lord, for we are weak. What else can we learn from this passage? We can learn that we need to submit to God and resist the devil. In James chapter 4, verse 7, very famous verse, submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Resisting the devil must be accompanied by submitting to God, trusting him, yielding to him, celebrating his grace. We find our strength against the powers of evil. And that's why Paul urged his fellow Christians to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, and to put on the whole armor of God for the spiritual warfare. Brothers and sisters, we are in a spiritual battle. You know, and what is it saying here? Whenever you're tempted to turn away from God, whenever you're tempted to do evil, to do the wrong thing, lean towards the Lord. Call upon him for help. Make that your first priority. That's your first line of defense. We need to draw near to God in order for us to truly resist the devil. Immediately following the command to resist the devil, James encourages his readers again and again to draw near to God. Draw near to God, brothers and sisters, when you face temptation. Call out to the Lord. Jesus continually resisted the devil. This is an example each and every one of us need to follow. And what was the outcome of this? The outcome was that the devil left him. The devil fled. What else can we learn? We learn that we need to know the scriptures well. But we not only need to know the scriptures, but we need to let the scriptures really sink into our hearts, and we need to apply God's word to our lives. You know, the devil knows the scriptures. You know, we may know every single word in the Bible, but that has no use or value if that is not penetrating into our hearts and if we're not applying that to our lives. Jesus responded, as I said, to each of the three temptations with the word of God. The word of God is a powerful weapon. The word of God is sharper than a double-edged sword. The word of God is living. The word of God is active. Jesus used the word of God again and again in spiritual warfare. Each time Satan tempted Jesus to sin, Jesus confronted him by saying, "It is written," with the biblical truth, "It is written." He fights each spiritual battle or warfare with the word of God. And this is something that we need to learn from, because the Bible has power. The scripture has power when we face temptations. When we face difficult times, we need to rely on the word of God in the same way that Jesus did. You know, and as I mentioned before, when Satan quoted from Psalm 91, when he misquoted it, he did it deliberately. You know, this is why it's important to know God's word. You know, it's important to know it, to understand what it means. Because so many people are misapplying God's word, and they're taking what the scripture says completely out of context, and they're using it for their advantage. So Jesus, in the three temptations, used the word of God. Jesus is God. He's Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He could have easily displayed his powers. He could have easily used his powers against the devil. He could have easily stood against the devil with a supernatural display of his own glory. But no, he used the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. This Word of God is available to each and every one of us. And remember, the most powerful weapon is the Word of God. Since Jesus experienced temptation, he is able to help us. You know, Hebrews chapter 2, verse 18, I'll just read this. It says, "For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those being tempted." What a practically encouraging verse for us all, that Jesus himself was tempted by the devil. Which means that we can too relate. We can relate to Jesus. And Jesus overcame temptation. He never gave in once. And remember, brothers and sisters, no matter how bad your temptation might be, you know, there might be an area in your life that's hidden, that you haven't disclosed to anybody, you know. But just remember this, that God doesn't allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. When you are tempted, draw near to the Lord, seek him in prayer, use the words as power, as the sword of the Spirit, and he will show you a way out so that you can endure the temptation. Jesus understood temptation, yet he never sinned. And since he himself went through the suffering and testing and the trials and difficulties, he too is able to help us when we are being tested. Jesus is our example. He is the model that we must all strive for, our high priest, to help us overcome anything that we may face. And he emerged victorious, despite the strongest attempts of hell to overturn God's plan of redemption. Christ, his victory, is our victory, and we can call upon him anytime. Satan failed. 3 attempts, he completely failed. Jesus conquered temptation so that we could apply his strength. Brothers and sisters, when we have Christ, when we have his Spirit indwelling and filling us, when we have his Word feeding us, guiding us, then we have all that we need to face today's temptations. Brothers and sisters, just remember, Jesus was tempted, yet he never sinned. Rely on God's Word. Draw near to him. Seek him. The Word of God, Jesus said, it is written constantly. The Word of God, he's written, it is written, he said. This is our spiritual. This is the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Amen.